Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Weiwei Xiong from University of Illinois, and I'm here to present our paper, Ad Hoc Synchronization Considered Harmful. This work is done in UC San Diego with my colleague Sun Yong Park, Jia Qizang, my advisor Yuan Yuan Zhou.
Probably this is not.
So good afternoon again. I'm Weiwei Xiong from University of Illinois, and I'm here to present our paper, Ad Hoc Synchronization Considered Harmful. This work is done in UC San Diego with my colleagues Sun Yong Park, Jia Qizang, my advisor Yuan Yuan Zhou, and Zhiqiang Ma from Intel. So due to the trend of multi-core processors, concurrent program becomes more and more pervasive. And synchronization plays an important role to ensure the correctness of runtime execution. It can be mutual exclusion to guarantee that at every point of time, only one thread can enter the critical section. Or it can enforce some processes or threads to wait for some condition to resume the execution. Let's take a look at some real synchronization example. So in this piece of code, can you tell me where is the synchronization? Okay, probably it's quite trivial to identify the piece that lock and unlock here, because they are very common synchronization primitives. But sometimes developers don't directly use them. Instead, they use their own customized primitives. But again, it is not hard to identify them from the code. So in these cases, synchronization are easy to identify. It doesn't matter if you use some piecewise lock or unlock or your own customized primitives. In other words, they have very good readability. But are all the synchronization in the real world like this? What about this example from OpenL Dev? To make it simple, I already just deleted a lot of code and show the relevant code here. But can you tell me whether it contains synchronization? Well, probably you cannot answer this question directly. Because by going through this code, we can only observe a for loop and a bunch of other code here. We didn't see any common synchronization primitive. But if we read the code more carefully, you will find out that the exit condition of this loop is dependent on some variable named deleted. And by looking backwards, you will see that this variable is modified in the execution path, which is dependent on some another variable. And this variable is modified by a remote thread. So if the remote thread set this value to 1, then this thread can break out of the loop. So now we understand what is the synchronization here. But really, it is not an easy job at all. So from this example, you can tell that ad hoc synchronization are really hard to identify. Because here, they don't directly use synchronization primitives. Rather, they use a loop to do synchronization in an ad hoc way. So we call this ad hoc synchronization. And the variable that is used to do synchronization, we refer to as sync variable. So this is very hard to identify. Let me show you another more complicated example from MySQL. Interestingly, this code contains several nested go-to loops. So can you tell me whether it's doing synchronization or just doing some local computation? OK, I can't wait too long because the session chair will give me a warning. So the truth is, This code includes several ad hoc synchronization using multiple synchronization variables. Note that I only chose 10s of lines of code here, and it's already hard to recognize the ad hoc synchronization. Think about identifying them from millions of lines of code. So until now, I hope I convinced you that ad hoc synchronization are really hard to identify. But what are the problems with ad hoc synchronization? Unfortunately, ad hoc synchronization are harmful to program reliabilities. So because ad hoc synchronization are hard to recognize, programmers can be easily unaware of those ad hoc synchronizations. But then they will introduce bugs when they are doing programming. Later, I will show you more real-world examples. And also, our study shows that up to 67% of examined ad hoc synchronization introduced the bug. Moreover, even you have tools to detect those bugs in the program, ad hoc synchronization introduced challenges to those tools. Because those tools cannot recognize those ad hoc synchronization either. So as a result, ad hoc synchronization can introduce hard to detect deadlocks, and also probably cause false positive to generate checkers, like we saw in the previous presentation. And also, it can confuse the program performance profiling tools to mix those ad hoc synchronization with the computation, normal computation. So in this case, this may mislead programmers to modify those wrong parts of the code. And thus, they may make less optimal performance tuning. And last but not least, ad hoc synchronization may also have problematic interaction with compilers and underlying relaxing memory consistent model. And this is exactly our focus of our paper. So first, we provide a quantitative evidence to show that ad hoc synchronizations are actually harmful in practice. It suggests that programmers should try to avoid using those ad hoc synchronizations. And to help with that, programming language designers may also try to design more flexible or fast synchronization primitives for those people to use. To further help this process of porting ad hoc synchronization to better alternatives, we developed a tool called SyncFinder to automatically identify and annotate ad hoc synchronization. This also helps concurrent program analysis tools to be aware of those ad hoc synchronizations. We use two use cases to demonstrate the benefits. One helps to detect deadlocks and perform bad practices, and the other one helps to reduce data rate false positives in the race detectors. This outlines my presentation today, and I will move on to our study of ad hoc synchronization. To understand ad hoc synchronization, we studied 12 concurrent programs from three categories, including server application, desktop application, and scientific programs. Then we manually examined them to identify ad hoc synchronization. Two of us each spent 3 months to go through every program and then finish this process. We then checked with each other to validate the results. This table show the number of ad hoc synchronizations we examined. So as you can see from this column, every studied program includes ad hoc synchronization. For example, MySQL has 83 ad hoc synchronizations. This implies that concurrent program has the need of synchronization beyond mutexes. This may be because common synchronization primitives are not flexible or fast enough to express the synchronization. Since every program has ad hoc synchronization, so we want to see whether it's good practice. So our quantitative result shows that ad hoc synchronization are actually error prone. For each ad hoc synchronization loop, we find out if there was any patches on it, and then we use this patch information to go through the Bugzilla database and changelog to see if the problem is really caused by the ad hoc synchronization. And the second column shows the total number of ad hoc synchronization, and the last column shows the number of buggy synchronization and also the percentage of them. The result shows that almost half of the ad hoc synchronization introduced bugs. For example, in some application like OpenLDAP, this percentage can be as high as 67%. So first of all, doing synchronization is already really hard, right? Then if a programmer writes some synchronization in an ad hoc way, and some other programmers may not even recognize them, this makes the problem even more complicated. Let me show you a bug from Mozilla. Can you tell me where is the problem here? If you use your eyes, you may identify that there's only one lock here. And there's no problem of lock, lock, deadlock. But now probably you notice that there's also some while loop here. And actually, there's a deadlock caused by those ad hoc synchronization while loops. Let me tell you how this deadlock could happen. So one thread one, enters and holds a lock first. And then it's blocked in ad hoc synchronization, which is a statement two in this example in thread one. So thread one have to wait for thread two to release it from the ad hoc synchronization. But thread two cannot proceed because there's another ad hoc synchronization. And it is blocked, and thread two is also blocked in it. So thread two have to wait a third thread to release it from the ad hoc synchronization loop. But thread three cannot proceed either because it's trying to acquire lock, which is currently held by thread one. So thread three have to wait for thread one to release the lock. This forms a very tricky three-way deadlock. So this happened probably because those programmers are not aware of those ad hoc synchronization, which are the while loops here. And even worse, deadlock detection tools cannot detect this bug because they cannot recognize this ad hoc synchronization either. Besides bugs, ad hoc synchronization can also introduce performance issues because they may lead to busy waiting. So in this example from MySQL, the program found out there's a busy waiting in this do while loop. And then to fix it, they insert a sleep to let this thread give out the CPU cycle. Ad hoc synchronization loop can also confuse race detectors to produce false positive. For one thing, race detectors may report benign data races on the synchronization variables, as we already see in the previous presentation. So I will show you an example. So in this example from MySQL, there is an ad hoc synchronization on the sync variable state here. It actually is a benign database, and it is intended by the programmer. But the race detector cannot recognize it. So it's thought, OK, there is a race here. But actually, this is a benign data race. For another thing, race detector can also report false data races on the variables that are well ordered. Let me show you another example from Apache. In this example, there's an ad hoc synchronization between S2 and S3. So this synchronization will synchronize the worker thread and the listener thread. But the data race detector cannot recognize it. So it reports another data race on statement one and between statement 1 and statement 4. But actually, this happens before relation between these two statements, because it's well synchronized with the ad hoc synchronization. So this is the fourth data race. So now when we're talking about ad hoc synchronization, you may naturally think of a simple spin loop. But actually, there's a whole lot of different implementation in the real world. Let me take a look at the ad hoc synchronization in different dimensions. Regarding the code style, the ad hoc synchronization can be implemented using a simple while loop or a go-to loop. And in another dimension, ad hoc synchronization loops may include only one exit condition, or it may also include multiple conditions. So in this example, the ad hoc synchronization loop may check the local exit condition I less than 1,000, or it may check another condition to see if the job is finished. Finally, if we look at another dimension, look at the synchronization variable. Okay, an ad hoc synchronization loop may just simply spin on the shared variable, or they may have the exit condition may have data or control dependencies on the synchronization variables. And sometimes, even the dependency can cross function boundaries. In this example, the exit condition of the ad hoc synchronization loop has data dependence on the synchronization variable. And in another example, the dependency is across function boundary. So based on these dimensions, we check how the ad hoc synchronizations are really distributed. So this shows the whole distribution. I'm not expecting you to read the table. So the important thing here is you can see that the ad hoc synchronization are all spread around. So the number of simple spinning loop is very small, actually. In other words, the ad hoc synchronization loop are not just the simple spinning on a shared variable. They can be the exit condition of the ad hoc synchronization loop may have data dependence or control dependence or even a cross function boundary, a lot of different implementations. So next, I will discuss about our sync finder, a tool that can automatically identify and annotate the ad hoc synchronization in the program. In order to identify ad hoc synchronization, we need to first understand it in more detail. So first, every ad hoc synchronization has a loop body, which we refer to as sync loop. And in the sync loop, they may include at least one exit condition. But in this example, actually, there are two exit conditions here. And each exit condition is associated with the exit condition variable. And the most important here is every ad hoc synchronization should have an ad synchronization variable. And these elements form the waiting side of ad hoc synchronization. On the other side, there are two modifications on the synchronization variable. And one of them will release the waiting side, and which we refer to as sync write. So this forms the setting side of the ad hoc synchronization loop. So with the waiting side operation and also the setting side operation, they form a synchronization pair. I will use this example to talk about how sync finder works. Ad hoc synchronization includes waiting side and setting side, as I just talked about. The waiting side is more important, and I will talk about it first. So given a concurrent program, sync finder starts from loop analysis to identify the loops in it. Then, for every loop, sync finder extracts all the exit conditions and represents them in a canonic form, and then analyzes them separately. If one exit condition is sync condition, we call the loop sync loop. With each exit condition, with each access condition, SyncFinder first identifies the access condition variables. And then in the access dependent variable detector, we will then identify the dependent variables. And on those dependent variables, SyncFinder applies several pruning steps to prune those local variables or some shared variable that has nothing to do with synchronization. If there's no variable left, SyncFinder prunes those loops. And otherwise, the loop is identified as ad hoc synchronization loop. SyncFinder then go on to report the synchronization loop. I will talk about the pruning in more detail. Please refer to the paper for the other part. So the pruning is the essential part of differentiating ad hoc synchronization from computation loop. And the key here is to look what are unique in the ad hoc synchronization loop. And our observation is a sync condition should depend on the remote thread. So that means desynchronization should always depend on some synchronization variable, which is a shared variable. And secondly, synchronization variable should always be loop invariant. This differentiates a sync loop from a computation loop. Let me show you two examples here. In the first example, so there's one access condition, which is I less than n lies, but the I is a local variable, and also it's a loop variant. So the whole access condition will be pruned out as non-sync condition. And because there's only one access condition here, the whole loop will be pruned out as a computation loop. And in the second example, which is actually an ad hoc synchronization example, the gSense is a shared variable, and it is a loop invariant. So this loop we will keep as an ad hoc synchronization loop. So once SyncFinder identifies the synchronization loop, the left part is relatively straightforward. So from the sync loop, we identify the sync variable and read operations. And then we use some alias analysis to get the modification on this synchronization variable. But not all the modification actually will satisfy the exit condition of an ad hoc synchronization loop. So we use several pruning steps like to check those satisfiability to prune out those modifications that won't satisfy the exit condition. In this example, the first one will not satisfy the exit condition and will be pruned out. And only the second one will be kept here. And then our sync finder will report those exit conditions. We also actually, before this step, we also do some pruning to prune out those sequential code that cannot run concurrently. So then SyncFinder will report those nine numbers and the loop context of the ad hoc synchronization. We also annotate those ad hoc synchronization in the source code for other tools to use or for the programmer to port them to better alternatives. Next, I will move on to the evaluation result. Since I'm running out of time, I will only talk about the highlights of the result here. This is the overall result, and SyncFinder identifies 96% of ad hoc synchronization with 6% of false positives. This result shows that SyncFinder is relatively accurate and effective. In addition to the 12 programs, we also apply SyncFinder on 13 more programs. And the results show that 12 out of 13 programs has synchronization, ad hoc synchronization. The false positives are also relatively low. So we also have two use cases to demonstrate the benefit from SyncFinder. One is a simple tool to detect the new dialogues and also bad practices. And another one is to extend the race detector to prune out those false positives. The results show that we detected five deadlocks, and two of them are new deadlocks, never reported before. And also, we can reduce the false positive rate in the race detector. Our work is built upon several previous work, and please refer to the paper for the detail. In conclusion, we did quantitative study of ad hoc synchronization and found several interesting and perhaps alarming results. The takeaway from this study is ad hoc synchronization are harmful. And then we developed a tool to help port the ad hoc synchronization to better alternatives and also help to improve analysis tools. Our work also has several limitations. Please also refer to the paper. And I will leave this slide here, and I'd be happy to take any questions.
I'm Vova Kuznetsov from EPFL. So you report that ad hoc synchronization has higher percentage of bugs in it. But non-ad hoc synchronization probably also has bugs. Do you have any data on that?
I'm sorry, could you repeat the question again?
So normal non-ad hoc synchronization probably also has bugs.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any data on that, how many bugs normal synchronization primitives have?
So you're right. Normal synchronization also have bugs. And actually, previously we also did some work on the reliability of normal synchronization. But our observation is ad hoc synchronization, the percentage of buggy ad hoc synchronization is higher than the normal synchronization.
Okay, yeah. Thank you.
Thanks.
Brian Ford, Yale. I really like this. You've done a lot of. I think it's really interesting to see. I was very surprised to see that ad hoc synchronization is so pervasive. I was definitely not aware of that. But it leads me to the question: why? You know, I mean, what is so deficient about the current primitives we have that are obviously available, have you seen any indication of whether it's because we need a synchronization abstraction that's not there, or is it just performance, a desire to a quick hack for performance, or what? Can you say anything?
So your question actually is like why this ad hoc synchronization is so pervasive, right? So we also check the comment in the source code to see why those people did those ad hoc synchronization. And my thinking is one reason is that those programs, like what you said, they just want an easy way, or like they care about, they just want a flexible way to do ad hoc synchronization. And another reason is that, okay, they may assume that, okay, this won't wait for too long, or most of the time the condition will be true. So they just do a simple ad hoc synchronization. And that's our observation. But of course, they are harmful, yeah, actually.
Is there a synchronization primitive you would suggest to replace it with? Or?
Yeah, I think conditional wait is a safe way to do that, right? Conditional wait and conditional signal, yes. Yeah, that's my thinking, yeah.
Hi, Dan Peek, Facebook. So I suspect that many of these programmers who do these ad hoc synchronization do it because they believe that by doing so, they can avoid a synchronous write to the system bus, which would decrease their performance. And also, can you comment on that? And is it therefore always harmful?
So your question is like they are always harmful. So the thing is, they are not always harmful. But the thing is, my thinking is, okay, you do this, or you assume that, okay, this is you have good performance by doing ad hoc synchronization. But the thing is, if the you are scalable, you scale on more cores, or the things the underlying architecture changes, then you may have problems in the future. For example, performance issues, and also those ad hoc synchronization have bad readability. So if some other programmer want to maintain the code, it's very hard for them to really do good programming to deal with those ad hoc synchronization.
So on the strength of that, would you say that lock-free data structures are bad?
I'm sorry?
So on the strength of that comment, would you say that lock-free data structures are bad?
I cannot say that lock-free data algorithms or those things are bad. But I guess if you have a better alternative, why don't try those better alternatives or better primitives?
Chris Oblitzel, Microsoft Research.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any chance that these application writers declare their synchronization variables as volatile?
So, you can declare that the synchronization variable as volatile, but actually volatile cannot guarantee any synchronization semantic.
I'm just wondering if that would make it easier for your tool to find the synchronization variables.
So actually, we thought about this like kind of a heuristic to do that, but still we don't assume volatile is a good way to declare the synchronization variable. Probably programming language designers can really enforce some semantic in some language like C or C++. Then you can probably use it and, of course, help this thing finder.
Okay. This is Chen Li from MPI-SWS.
Mm-hmm.
So I have two questions. First one, you mentioned in your talk you have 67% of the ad hoc synchronization are bad, right? So I just wonder...
I'm sorry, for which application?
You mean in your survey, in your study, there have a high percentage of the ad hoc synchronization you found are bad, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I just wonder, how can you identify this kind of the ad hoc synchronization are bad?
Okay, so the question is how we validate those ad hoc synchronizations are bad.
Yes.
So the way we did is we check the code repository on every ad hoc synchronization to see if there's any patch on it. And then we use the patch information to go through the Bugzilla database and also change log to validate whether this problem is really introduced by ad hoc synchronization. So that's the way we did that.
Okay, thanks. The second question is...
Josh Triplett, Portland State University. I was just wondering, one common issue with static analysis tools is how well they perform and if you can reasonably run them on a large code base. So how long does Sync Finder take to run? Is it linear or quadratic or worse in the size of the source code? Could I reasonably run it on something the size of the Linux kernel and get back a result in my lifetime?
So this comes as one question? Okay. So there are several questions here, I guess. So one question is, I can answer is, the largest code base we run is on MySQL, which includes 1 million lines of code. And the running time of Sync Finder is approximately 2.5 hours.
Okay.
And for the complexity about linear, whether it's linear to the source code size, it depends, actually. So for example, OpenLDAP, the code size is not as big as MySQL, but because probably the ad hoc synchronization are complicated, like have a lot of data dependency or control dependency. So the analysis time is also like comparable to MySQL, actually.
Okay, so, thank you.
Yeah, sure.
So we'll have to end the session at this point, but the remaining questions can be taken offline. So let's thank Weiwei.
Thank you.